you want to, you go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 10. That's where we're going to actually start looking at some verses. But you should have the handout, which is Things to Flee. And we've been looking at this because what we decided to do is, a brief study, is to look at things to flee. And we said that we had spent that study on temptation and talking about fleeing and all of that. And so we said, let's look at things to flee. And we divided into two parts, believers and unbelievers. We started first with unbelievers. What are unbelievers to flee? And not only did we do it that way, we said, what are they to flee from? What are they to flee to? And we're doing the same thing for believers. What are we to flee from? What are we to flee to? And so last time, we spent about the first two or three pages of our handout dealing with the unbeliever. And we talked about that, and we'll get into it. But I just want to remind you that we talked about the unbeliever fleeing from the wrath to come and fleeing to the Savior, Jesus Christ. So that was some good things. We'll start with that. Just a quick review on that if you weren't here. And then basically we'll get into about the third page of our handout where it says the believer, where it has down there Romans 12, 1 and 2. That's where we'll actually get started. So let's begin with a prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for a great morning. Thank you for each one that is here. Lord, what a great time we have as we come together and as we sing and we pray and we study, and just a good time. Lord, I just thank you for each one who takes time to come, who wants to be a part of this class. And Lord, as we think about things to flee, and we think about things to flee from and what to flee to. And Lord, we as believers, we want to live in such a way that you get all the glory. And Lord, help us as we tie this in with what we've seen Sunday morning, and how that we just want to be godly men and women who make an impact for you. Lord, we ask you that you would teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we started by thinking about living the Christian life and living for the glory of God. And we finished our study just several weeks ago on the whole idea of temptation. And we saw all these different things were to do. But one of the key things in temptation is, when temptation comes, is to flee, to get away, to run. And so we start maybe just a couple of weeks study that we would look at things, calling it things to flee. And at the bottom of page one, it's got the unbeliever and the believer, and the two things there, what to flee from and what to flee to. That was what we looked at. And we started with the unbeliever. And the key thing, as we saw, was Matthew 3:7, where we saw some unbelievers and they were coming to John the Baptist. And he said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And so the first thing that we talked about, for an unbeliever, there is something that they should flee from, and that is from the wrath of God. The wrath of God comes, Romans chapter 1 talks about it, comes on all ungodliness. And the truth is, all people are sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. We need a Savior. And without a Savior, there will be the wrath of God, which is the separation. A lot of people don't understand that, but there will be a separation of people from God forever. You know, we assume, in fact, just about any time somebody dies, especially if they're famous, everybody assumes they're in heaven. I mean, you know, and you just hear people say, well, they're up there. Some rock guy who's lived some, no telling what kind of life, and said that he didn't believe in anything, and he dies, and they say he's in the great rock group in the sky, you know. And you go, yeah, what group is there up there? You know, who knows? So one of the things we want to think about, there is the wrath to come, and that is separation from God. Anyone who does not believe in Jesus Christ. So we put down that to flee from the wrath to come. What is this wrath? It's separation from God, and God will bring wrath on those who do not believe. And then we said, what are they to flee to? And at the bottom of the second page, you've got John 14:6, where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. And so what we find out is what they're to flee to is Jesus Christ. And at the top of the third page, where it says Hebrews 6:18, it talked about being the refuge. And Jesus Christ is our refuge. There's no doubt about that. For every human being, we flee from the wrath to come and flee to the Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what we talked about that first time. And you know what's amazing is that those of us in this room, now there's two applications you can make from our study so far. One is, if a person does not know Christ. Now, as I look about this room, I know almost everybody in this room. So my assumption, and maybe not even a proper assumption, but my assumption is that everyone in this room has already believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. But if not, the application would be, you need to flee from the wrath to come, which is separation from God. And the only way that you can get away from the wrath to come is to flee to the one who saves you. And that is Jesus Christ. And so one application is to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. It is amazing how many people that we come in contact with, because the second application is to tell others. That as we go out this door, we get to tell people. It is amazing that in the people that you will get to talk to this next week, how many people do not know how to have eternal life. In fact, the lie of the devil and the fall of this whole fallen world thinks that you try to live a good life to get to God. Somehow you live good, or you try to live good, or you try to do the best you can, or you at least try to be better than some other people, and somehow you'll get to God. And they don't understand that the only way to flee from the wrath to come is to flee to Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So the applications from the first part is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's tell other people about our Savior Christ. Now from there, we go to the bottom of the third page, which is we're going to talk about us, the believer. And I think it's important that as we think about that, I've got Romans 12, 1 and 2. We'll talk about that in just a second. We're dealing with the Christian life. What do we do as Christians? Oftentimes we think in the Christian life, especially when you go to Ephesians, where it talks about and put on the armor of God so that you may stand in, you know, in the evil day. And we want to stand for Jesus Christ. And it's true that we are to stand for Him. But you know, one of the things we saw as we lived the Christian life, especially in the study of temptation, there are times to run. Now, you put on the full armor of God, you get close to God, but when the temptation comes, there may be opportunities or times in our lives where we're tempted, and as we saw in our study, that we're to get away. And so as we look at this study, we're not only going to think about things to flee from, but we're going to talk about what do we flee to? And you say, well, we already fled to Jesus Christ. Yeah, we have. There's some other things we're going to see as we look at our study. So at the bottom of page, whatever that page is where it says number two, the believer, we've got Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's start this way. When we think about our goal as a believer, it is to make an impact for Christ. And that's why I think the Romans passage is so powerful. As you know, in the study of the book of Romans, we saw all those first 11 chapters, and it was theology and doctrine and all of these truths. And then, out of the blue, so to speak, he stops and says, now therefore. And he talks about offering our lives as living sacrifices. Stop being conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, it's powerful, and we want to live that way and bring honor and glory to God. But if you go to the top of the next page, we're going to see that there are times to flee. And a famous passage, we saw this passage when we studied our study on temptation. But I want you to see it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 14. Because he tells us what we're to flee from. Notice what it says. And I think this is a summary statement. Notice. He says, therefore, my beloved, flee from what? Idolatry. And all of us in this room, you'd say, idolatry? I mean, I don't have any idols. I mean, that's not an idol. I mean, you know, and I don't have a little statue of anything. And we know that there are parts of the world and there are people who still have statues and idols and icons and things that they kind of worship, or they look at it and they say, this is something. And he says, flee from idolatry. And simply put, idolatry is anything that comes between you and God. And it could be some possessions you have. It could be no telling what. And you look back at the nation of Israel. Of course, idolatry was that they turned away from the living God and they worshiped false gods. And they did put idols and they put all Ashtoreth poles and all those things. And they did that. So Paul's charge to the Corinthians. Now, and most of these people weren't Jewish. They were Gentile. What does he say to them? He says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Idolatry is anything before Christ. Where your treasure is, that is where your what? Heart is. See, most people have it backwards. They think it's backwards. Where your heart is what you treasure. No, what you treasure is what you love. You want to know what you love? What do you treasure? What do you count as important? What do you count as valuable? Where your treasure is, there is your heart. That's what the Bible says. And so, what is the thing that you treasure? Is it your relationship with Jesus Christ? Is it the fact that He saved you and He gives you eternal life and you can talk to Him anytime, anyplace, anywhere, and you can live for Him and you can do all of these things? If that's what you treasure, that's what you're going to love. But you know, in our culture today, and the pull is there, and you know, we've already seen where there's the world, the flesh, the devil, everything is pulling on us. And sometimes people love their things. And sometimes people love their positions. And sometimes people love their jobs. And sometimes they treasure all these things. And that's what they end up loving rather than Jesus Christ. And that's why he says, flee from idolatry. And then look at verse 15. He says, I speak to you as wise men. You judge what I say. He just puts it down and says, listen, I'm telling you, let's be wise about this thing. Let's think what's really the best thing. Flee putting anything ahead of Christ. And so I think we look at our lives and we say, what is in our lives that could be really blocking and that in a biblical sense could be an idol? Because we as believers are to flee idolatry. So let's look at the passage I've got here. What is idolatry? Anything ahead of Christ? Look at the flow of 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12, 13, and 14. Now, we've seen this before, but watch the flow and what he says. He says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Now, we spent a lot of time on this in our study of temptation. If you think you're not going to sin, if you think that there's no idols in your life, if you think there's nothing between you and God or nothing could ever come between you and God, take heed lest you think you stand, you fall. We're capable of any sin. We're capable of anything. Just put us in the wrong place at the wrong time. We're going to do the wrong thing. Do you testify to that? Is that true? I mean, let's face it. Unless y'all are just a lot better than me, I'm pretty bad. And I tell you, you put me in the wrong place in the wrong time, I'm going to do the wrong thing unless I get away from it. So take heed lest you think you stand. You fall. And then he goes on to say, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. Look, the things that you're suffering, the temptations that are in your life, everybody has those temptations. And God is faithful. Now, that's what makes it so great about life. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. There's nothing going to ever come into our lives that we would say, I just couldn't help it. Because see, what does he do? He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but here's what he will do. With the temptation, he will provide the way of escape. That's why you flee. He'll provide the way of escape also so that you'll be able to endure it. In other words, endure the whole situation and get out of that. That's when he goes on to say, therefore, that's a summary statement based on what we just saw in 12, 13, and 14. Therefore, based on the fact that take heed lest you think you stand, based on the fact that God's right there for you and he's not going to provide, he's going to provide a way of escape. Therefore, my beloved, flee. Flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. What are some things that we could put before God in our lives? Can you think of anything? Sports. Yeah, your family. Well, that's a hard one, isn't it? Who do you love more than anybody else in this whole world? Your family. What did Jesus say? You must. I don't want to. It sounds so hard. I don't even want to say it. But he said, you must hate your mother and your father. Now, he didn't mean hate them. What he meant is you must choose me above them. And sometimes people put their families above their relationship with God. Sometimes they put sports. I love sports. I love it. I love it. You know, I've gotten older. I don't love it as much. It's amazing. I used to love every football, everything. And if it's not a team I really like, I don't even watch it anymore. I don't know what happened to me. You know, because I love all that stuff, or I did. And sometimes that can be in the way. What else? What'd you say? Your job. And somebody else said what? Stuff. Yeah. Okay, let's go with job first for a second. Then we'll come back to stuff. Jobs. Jobs for men many times make us feel what? Important. I mean, that's what we do. You introduce yourself. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? Right? You know, and so job becomes the thing sometimes, more than anything else. And stuff. Oh, stuff. Man, we love stuff. We don't have enough stuff, so we get a bigger house so we can put more stuff in it. Right? Because we got a lot of stuff. Hobbies. Relationships, sexual relationships. He says, you better get away from that stuff. We'd say, but I don't have idols. I know some people, I don't mean it, I'm not talking about anybody in this room, but I know people whose car is their idol, or their house is their idol, or their job, or their things, or their hobbies, or their, that's their idols. That's the most important thing in their lives. That's what they treasure. That's what they love. He says, you better flee it. I speak to you as wise men. Judge what I say. So let's get specific. I've got down at the bottom two areas that I want you to think about when we're thinking about what to flee and what could be idols, idolatry. Number one, put down self, and it's our lust, it's our desires. And number two, put down the thing that Harriet just mentioned, put down things, possessions, material things, money, stuff. Those two things I think are two big areas that if you wanted to say idolatry, you could say, okay, in our lives, our idolatry could be something dealing with us, our lust and desires, or our things, materialism, money, possessions, all of those things. We're going to see that God's Word gives us some areas, some things to deal with and how to deal with those kind of things, but it's there. Look at the top of the next page. We talk about ourself, the idol of putting ourself first. You, by the way, that's natural. It's natural to think of yourself. It's natural to be selfish. It's natural to wake up and that the whole world revolves around you. Don't children believe that the whole world revolves around them? You know why we cause that, by the way. I mean, they're 2 years old, and they come into a room, and everybody's saying, oh, the most precious thing. Instead of, oh, look, they sit up there by themselves. Ain't they the most special thing in the world? Oh, they clapped. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And then, yes, I am the center of the world. I am. The problem is we never grow out of that either. We are the center of the world. Some people will come in, and they'll say, I don't want people to see me. And they'll say, nobody's looking at you. Let's face it, we're not as important as we think we are. We're not. We think everybody thinks about us, but they don't. They're all thinking about themselves. Is that not true? See, ourself, that's the key. And sometimes we put ourselves before God. Because our whole purpose of existence is not to be happy. Our purpose of existence is to be holy, to be conformed to the image of our Savior. The whole purpose of our existence is not our life and what am I going to get to do in this 70, 75, 80, whatever years He gives us. It is the whole purpose of our lives is to be representatives of Jesus Christ while He leaves us on this earth, no matter how long. And so we need to change our thinking. And so we start off by saying the idol of putting ourselves first. And the focus, I think, in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 6, and if you want to flip back over to 1 Corinthians 6, and look what he talks about in that area, verse 18, he talks about flee. And if you go over to 1 Corinthians 6:18, he says, flee immorality. Flee it. I mean, it's there. That's the world. The world is pushing immorality. Now, immorality, that word just means illicit sexual relationships. Illicit sexual relationships. They're out there. They're pulling us all the time. We see them in every area. We talked a little bit about it on Sunday morning in the passage this morning. Flee immorality. It's everywhere. Magazines, TV, movies, ads. You're going to have to flee it. If there's something there, if there's something, you're going to have to get rid of it. You're going to have to. We talked a couple of weeks ago. What if you were in a job situation where a member of the opposite sex is attracting you somehow? You may have to quit that job. You may have to do something. You can't leave yourself in those kind of situations. You've got to flee those things. I mean, we're talking about real life. We're not talking about, oh, well, I got my job and I think I can handle it. Take heed lest you think you stand, you fall. If there's something coming into your home that's causing you, you're going to have to get rid of it. Causing you to sin in a sexual way, you got to get rid of it. It may be magazines you got. It may be movies you're watching. It may be TV. It may be the computer, the internet junk that comes in. It may be whatever it is, you got to get rid of that stuff. Because he says, flee. Flee it. This is what we're looking at. What do we get away from? What do we get away from? The second one down to 2 Timothy 2:2. Actually, it's supposed to be 2 Timothy 2:22. It's just a mistake in the typing there. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful lust. I used to read that and think that meant lust that youths have, and when you get older, you won't have that lust. No, it's describing the type of lust it is. It's youthful lust, but even you can be old and have youthful lust. He's saying flee it, regardless of your age. Get away from it. We have to. We have seen in our study of the temptation several who did not flee it. David with Bathsheba. We saw Joseph who did flee it with Potiphar's wife. And you know what's amazing about it? David is the man after God's own heart and always known after a man after God's own heart. It was never the same after his failure. Never the same. And Joseph, which at the front end of it looked pretty bad because he got thrown into prison. And even when he told the dreams to those guys and he said, "Don't forget me," they forgot him. But God didn't forget him. And God turns it right back around. So in this area of ourselves, number one, I want you to just think about your life and saying, how do I live and what am I supposed to do and what do I think about in the morning? What's in it for me or what can I do for God? And then the second aspect of this is this idea of fleeing immorality and fleeing youthful lust and getting away from those pools. Now, with the time we have left, I want to start on the second thing, and that is materialism. I think that's the greatest blessing of America and the greatest curse of America is the materialism and the possessions and the money and the riches. We were talking about this I was talking to somebody about this not too long ago, and he said, you know, our poorest people, the poorest people in the United States would be rich in any other nation in the world, would be rich. I mean, we talk about people, they say, well, they're on welfare. They're on welfare? Yeah. They only got a car and a TV and a house, and you know, they only got all that, and they're on welfare. When our kids get back from Mexico, ask them what they saw. I went to Mexico with Campus Crusade it's been over 10 years, maybe longer now. And we saw places we could not believe that people lived. And the average person there had nothing compared to what we would have. We are the richest. The greatest blessing of America is that God has blessed us materially, of course, with character and great leaders and a great country and freedom and all that. But we got this materialism that is here, and it is killing most of our people. If you talk about, I do a study every other spring on finances at CBI. Maybe this spring I'll do a study, a 13-week study on biblical finances. If you do a study on families in the United States, all families, whether Christian or not, they all have now on the average of 6 to 8 credit cards. All of them on the average have a balance of about $2,000 on each card that is unsecured debt that they're paying on. So the average family has between $12,000 and $15,000 credit card debt that they are just paying the interest on every month. Besides their house debts, their car debts, their other things that they have, they are so tied up into things. The average family in America spends 120% of their income every month. In other words, 20% more than they make. You'd say, well, how can they spend more than they make? They put it on credit cards. And I think this materialism thing, in our minds, for some reason, we really think things matter. We really do. And they don't. They don't mean a thing. They're to be used for the glory of God. But they won't satisfy anything in your life. They won't satisfy you. You get a brand new car, 3 weeks later, it's not brand new. And somebody hits it. You get a brand new suit, and then it's not brand new anymore. You get something, and it goes out of stock. You get a brand new computer, and 2 days later, it's not brand new because there's other things just came out that's better. Material things never satisfy you in any way, shape, or form. They cannot do it. The only thing that can satisfy you is relationships. Your relationship with God and your relationship with others. That's the only thing that will satisfy. Things can never satisfy. But our country has got this idea that if you get a certain house, certain cars, certain clothes, certain things, certain possessions, that somehow you'll be satisfied. But it doesn't work. And I think one of the things to flee is materialism. And if you want to, turn to 1 Timothy 6. I just want you to see it, and we're just about out of time, so we'll just talk about this more next time. 1 Timothy 6:11 says, "But flee from these things, you man of God." Well, you go, what things? Well, you have to go back. You have to go back to some verses. Go back to verse 9. He says, "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things." So we need to flee these things, and these things is the whole idea of materialism and the love of money. Look, nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having things. Use them for the glory of God. The problem is the love of money is the roots of all sorts of evil. We have to be real careful. Because things are fine. So let me just say that you got things. Things are fine. The whole purpose of things is to glorify God. Ecclesiastes says, enjoy life, enjoy what God gives you, and glorify God. Live for Him. So whatever things God chooses to... You know, Abraham was very wealthy as far as the world was concerned. Abraham was a rich man. King David was a rich man. King Solomon was the richest man in the world. So when we say things, we're not saying it's wrong to have things. We're saying it's wrong to love things. You got to flee idolatry, and one of that is the materialism of our world. And let me say this. If something you can't live without, it owns you. You don't own it. And we got to be careful. Flee the love of things and possessions and materialisms and all of that. We're going to talk about it because if you notice at the bottom, it says, then what do we flee to? And that's what we'll see next week when we get into the 1 Timothy passage, because he's going to say, flee these things, but pursue something else. And we're going to see what to pursue. And it's good. Was there one more hand up back there? Did you have a hand? Anybody up back there had one? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. As we think through these issues, Lord, we just want to flee idolatry. First of all, in our own selves, our lust of the flesh and sexuality and sensuality and all those youthful lust and immorality and just selfishness. And then second, Lord, just the whole material thing. And Lord, we know there's nothing wrong with how you've blessed us and what you've given us, but may we use it for your glory, and may we look at the eternal perspective and not the temporal right now, but see things from the eternal perspective, and help us to gain control over that, and may we flee from these things. And then, Lord, we see what we flee to. Thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.